Thanks. Thank you for coming back to my talk. So I'm Akira Furusaki from RIKEN, and so actually I have all of my collaborators in this room, Hideaki Obuse sitting here, and Arvin sitting there, and Ilya and Andreas Ludwig. And Hideaki did all the new hard work of numerics, and I was just sitting nearby. So I'm going to talk about numerical study of multifractality and conformal invariance in the Anderson localization problem. And my talk is closely related to Sasha Mulin's talk given in this program some weeks ago. And our paper is posted in the CONMAP. So the plan of my talk is as follows. I will introduce the problem and review some theoretical background, and then present our numerical results. So the problem I study is Anderson localization. And almost half a century ago, Phil Anderson showed that electron moving in a random potential is localized for strong disorder. And then later, scaling theory told us that actually this transition, there's a continuous phase transition, and they computed a theta function in one loop for ordinary disorder. So the leading term is some is a classical contribution, Drude contribution, and then there's a quantum correction which is negative. And as we go to a larger system size, conductivity of a sample decreases if this beta function is negative. So for the two-dimensional case, beta function is always negative, and electrons are always localized in two dimensions. But that was not the end of the story. Immediately after that, Tami Larkin and Nagaoka pointed out that actually there are three kinds of symmetry classes in the Anderson localization problem in accordance with the random matrix theory, Gaussian orthogonal ensemble, inter-ensemble, and symplectic ensemble. And in particular, for the symplectic class, where time reversal symmetry is not broken, and but there's no spin rotation symmetry, and this is satisfied when there's a strong spin orbit scattering potential, then the leading quantum correction, the one-loop correction to the beta function is positive. So we have anti-localization, and so this means that for weak enough disorder potential, quantum correction enhances the conductivity. But for the strong disorder, we know that electrons are always localized, so there should be some critical point separating a metallic phase and insulating phase. And this is the critical point I'm interested in. So I will study the properties of this critical point in more detail. So this is the Anderson transition point of my interest. And Anderson transition, metal insulator transition, is a continuous phase transition induced by disorder. And at that critical point, if you approach from the insulating side, localization length diverges parallel with some universal critical exponent. And typical wave functions look like this. If you are in a metallic phase with disorder, wave functions have many peaks. Well, and on average, it's uniformly distributed. In the insulating phase, wave function is peaked at some very small region of the space. And in between, at the critical point, wave functions have many peaks and also some region with very small wave function amplitudes. And in fact, this critical wave function shows multifractal behavior. And let me...
Excuse me, why do you say move to fractal?
That's... I'm going to explain here.
Is it any sense in which it should be geometrically?
Yeah, so at the critical point, if I compute the moments of wave function at criticality, the power to the 2 qth power, and take ensemble average with many random disorder configurations for the system, or the finite size system with linear dimension L in D dimensions, in the space dimension is D, then this average should scale like L to the minus tau of Q. And tau of Q is the multifractal exponents, which depends on parameter Q, which is a continuous real number. So we have a continuous set of independent and universal critical exponents. It's this. Okay.
What about if you take the average of the log A?
Yeah, that's...
is that what you're saying is that Psi is not self-average?
Right.
I think he will discuss that in detail, the nature of the scaling of a probabilistic diffusion of a wave function.
So yeah, but that's a good question, actually. But here, actually, I'm mostly interested in this simple average. And in the metallic phase, for example, if psi is just a simple plane wave, then you find that tau of q is just given by this without delta of q. So in the metallic phase, delta of q is non-zero, and non-vanishing finite delta q characterizes this anomalous scaling behavior at the critical point, disordered critical point. And by definition, delta of q vanishes at q equals 0 and 1. And if this delta q divided by q1 minus q is a constant, is a function of q, and if this is a constant of q, and if this doesn't depend on q, then multifractal spectra is parabolic. But in general, this is a function of q. Now, from tau of q, we can define singularity spectrum f of alpha through Legendre transformation. Alpha is a derivative of tau of q with respect to q, and f of alpha is q alpha minus tau of q. And as you know, that f of alpha has the simple physical meaning, namely that it's L to the f of alpha, L to the power of f of alpha is a measure of point R, where this wave function squared is scales like L to the minus alpha. And also we know that this parameter alpha is non-negative. That becomes important in later discussion. So as I said, Anderson transitions are continuous phase transitions, and without disorder in the ordinary phase transition, continuous phase transition, we know that when you approach a phase transition point, correlation length diverges with some power law, usually, and we have scale invariance at the critical point, and the scale invariance is promoted to local scale invariance, conformal invariance. And we have, in particular, in two dimensions, we have two-dimensional conformal field theory that, with that, we can classify most of the critical points. But for this disorder-induced critical points in two dimensions, we don't have such a nice theory yet. So the question is, well, we have several examples of disorder-induced critical points in 2D. One is the symplectic class that I introduced. Other famous examples are the quantum integer quantum Hall effect, in the unitary class, or also there's similar quantum Pauli effect in class C and class D for Bogoliubov-Dejean quasar particles. And for these critical points in disordered two-dimensional systems, my question is that do we have a conformal invariance in these critical points? And if so, the ultimate question would be what kind of CFTs would describe these critical points. But this is too difficult, so let me try to give some numerical evidence for the first question, namely the presence of conformal invariance at the symplectic class, in the transition point of the symplectic class. So to examine the presence of conformal invariance, let's consider this sort of sample finite size system with open boundaries and think about changing the shape of this sample and see how the wave functions change, and in particular how the multifractal properties will change. And we are interested in particular the multifractal properties near the surface, near the boundary of the system. So let me quickly remind you that the surface critical phenomena in the ordinary case without disorder, that's all of you know much better than I do, but suppose we have a critical, scaling theory that describes a critical point of a clean system, some statistical model, then and we have two points, and if these two points are much farther away from the surface, if L is much bigger than R, then we have parallel decaying two-point correlation functions with scaling exponent XP, which is a bulk scaling dimension of the operator O. If these two points are near the surface, then we have a different exponent, surface scaling exponent. And in general, these two exponents, XS and XP, are different. Also, if you consider a simple surface and also a wedge of an angle theta, then you can map these. We have a mapping between these two geometries, this simple parallel function. And we know that from Cardi's paper that if operator is a quasi-primary operator, then the scaling dimension of this operator for this, at this point, at the wedge, is proportional to the surface exponent, and this coefficient is just given by pi over theta. So this is the key relation that I will. Operator W. I forgot. Which I forgot. Is it positive or minus? Maybe minus. So it with some simple transformation rule.
I think what you're asking, what's the difference between primary and quasi primary? Is that right or not?
Yes.
So, standard analogy is that primary fields transformed in this way under any global conformal transformation. Quasi primary only with respect to the global conformal transformation.
Yeah, right. Yeah, thanks. And let me go back to the surface multifractality in disordered system. So this surface multifractality was introduced by Subramaniam and Edia and Andreas and Sasha Mierling and other people about a year ago. And so we consider finite system with linear dimension L with open boundaries. And inside the sample is a bulk region, and near the boundary we have a surface region and corner region here with some angle theta. And for each region, we define a multifractal exponent tau of q for the bulk, as usual. And for the surface, since the dimension of the support of the sample, the surface is d minus 1, we have this factored in L to the d minus 1. And this defines this surface multifractal exponent. And similarly, for the corner, d minus 2, we define a corner multifractal exponent. And also, for each tau of q, I define anomalous scaling dimension delta of q of bulk, surface, and corner. And if critical theory is just a simple free boson Gaussian theory, then this anomalous dimension would be just parabolic. But in general, it's not. Yep.
Open boundary means just single boundary conditions, or what do you mean by open boundary
extending? I mean, wave function vanishes outside. Yeah, so the potential is infinite outside the sample.
Directly bound.
The surface multifractal exponents were computed for spin quantum Hall transition by in the paper I just introduced, written by Arvind and Ilya and Andreas. And they show that indeed the surface anomalous scaling exponents are different from the bulk scaling exponents. But this is not my subject, I will skip.
There is a question that the wave function disappears on the boundary. And
yep.
The wave function on the boundary which defines your exponents, so can
you explain? Yeah, so I compute, this R is just one side or two, slightly inside. For example,
No, one should consider a boundary layer near the vanishing boundary condition of some size which is significantly bigger than the microscopic cutoff. And as long as you look at these wave function scalings in such a boundary layer, the claim is you find your exponents that carry the label S for surface the boundary.
Is it a size which is small compared to the variation of the wave function, so could I replace the sign on the boundary?
No, one should look at just some boundary layer, which, as I said, is some size which is sort of comparable, bigger than the microscopic cutoff. So
numerically, if you had good number of samples, you'd be able just to sit one step on the boundary and do all the calculations on that side. One microscopic lattice spacing from the boundary would give you these exponents.
But in general, it doesn't matter actually. I mean, it's the same as the usual clean surface critical phenomena. I mean, it's always this is scaling form. So
the problem is scaling variance. The distance from the surface where it vanishes should be smaller as compared to other scales in the problem. In this problem, there's only one scale of the system size.
Yeah.
So that's the condition under which you get the scaling, which is called surface. If you sit directly one lattice spacing next to the boundary, the wave function is very small, so it may be numerically or maybe very difficult to see anything. So
this order is smooth on that scale?
No, actually no. Random, completely, very short range disorder. And in fact, in numerical calculations, in this calculation, we take a special average over about 4 sites or 10 sites or something like that near this corner.
So does the result depend on the
recognition? We didn't try, but yeah, we didn't try.
So yeah, it will. It certainly is expected to depend on the boundary condition, yeah. But there's no obvious natural boundary condition that we have looked at. Yeah. It will, in general, have to depend on the boundary.
Mm-hmm. Right. But if we have some conformal field theory, then we expect to have some conformal invariant boundary condition, which may be only some finite number. Usually we have either Dirichlet or okay, I think I want to skip this, but I just wanted to tell in this paragraph that the anomalous scaling dimension of delta of Q of the multifractal spectra can be viewed as scaling dimension of some operator in a field theory. And therefore, we expect that if the underlying field theory has conformal invariance, then from the Cardy's argument, the scaling dimension of this operator will change. In this form for quasi-primary operator, and if an operator corresponding to this slightly 2th power is some quasi-primary operator in an underlying conformal field theory, then we expect that this anomalous scaling dimension of multifractal exponents would also obey this relation. So this is a relation that I would like to check numerically. This is just hypothesis. And if we assume that this relation holds, then from the Legendre transformation, we know that alpha of Q of corner is related to alpha of Q of surface in this fashion. And also f of alpha of corner is related to the surface f of alpha in this way. But there is one caveat or one extra condition that this alpha parameter should be either positive or zero and cannot be negative. Then we have to modify this simple relation in the following way. So first we solve this equation. If for given, well, we assume that alpha of Q of surface given, and then for given function of alpha of Q surface, we solve this equation, alpha of Q of corner equals to zero, that determines some Q, some value of Q, which I call Q theta. And then for Q smaller than Q theta, this simple conformal invariance relationship would be satisfied. So this is valid. We assume this is valid for Q smaller than Q theta. But for Q larger than Q theta, alpha has to stay constant, zero. Then this means that since alpha is a derivative of tau of Q has to be constant. And from that, I conclude that delta of Q corner should given by this should have this linear dependence on Q for Q larger than Q theta. So this is a relation that I would like to check numerically. And there is another set of symmetry relations recently proposed by Sasha Mühling. They proposed that the anomalous scaling dimension of multifractal properties should satisfy this simple relation connecting Q and 1 minus Q for bulk and surface and corner. And if we take this, then from Legendre transformation, we find that alpha and f of alpha should satisfy this relation. And in particular, from this second equation, connecting alpha of 1 minus q to alpha of q, since alpha of q has to be positive, then alpha of 1 minus q also has to be positive. That means that alpha of q is between 0 and 2d. In particular, in two dimensions, alpha should be between 0 and 4. That's the conclusion from this Sasha Mühling symmetry relation. And this is another relation we would like to check numerically. So what we would like to do is to numerically study this two-dimensional symplectic class and calculate numerically bulk and surface and corner multifractal exponents and check this conformal invariance relation and also check the symmetry relations recently conjectured by Sasha Mühling and co-workers. So the model we... according to them, they started from the nonlinear sigma model describing disordered critical system, Anderson localization system, and they obtained analytically some functional relation for local density of states, and I cannot derive it. And then with some universality argument, if you take this their functional relation for the local density of states, then from that we can compute moments of wave functions, and then this follows. So they did some form. Yeah. No, there is some.
Comment on this. It's a very interesting relation. It's an exact relation that follows for any of the sigma models that describe localization phenomena in metals. The only requirement that seems to go in there is that it has a finite density of states at the transition. And that the quantities you're talking about actually exist. These moments of wave functions exist. Mm-hmm. And it seems. That's all that goes in there. It's exceedingly general argument.
It's not, don't need.
Well, it's somehow derived, but it doesn't use much of a nonlinear sigma model, just the fact that it's there. The things you calculate from it actually exist.
So we took, for our numerical simulations, we took some lattice model in two dimensions, which is a tight binding model, and electrons are hopping on a lattice with the some random SU2 hopping matrix element, and also on each side we have random on-site energy. And this model was studied earlier by these people, Asada, Slevin, and Otsky, and they numerically solved this problem and obtained this phase diagram for energy versus disorder strength. And there's a metallic regime and insulating regime, and there's a boundary critical, the surface, the boundary. At the metal insulating transition, and at these critical points, for example, they obtained universal scaling critical exponent nu, which is 2.73, for example. And we took the same model, and we decided to sit here only for fixed energy around E equals 1 and fixed disorder strength, and impose the Dirichlet boundary condition. And we consider various geometry of finite size systems, torus and also cylinder and square and rhombus. Each has a linear dimension of L, so each system has L squared sides. And so for given disorder configuration, we look for one eigen wave function which has the energy very close to one, and we call it a critical wave function. And then for each critical wave function, we compute moments of wave functions at various places in the bulk region, showing red and surface and also corner. And we took ensemble average over 60,000 samples. In strict sense, there's no critical energy in finite size system, and critical energy is defined in the limit of large L. And we expect that if we stay near this energy, then it's probably okay. And also, in particular, each disorder configuration, you don't have an eigenstate with exactly this energy, slightly off. And so we keep only one eigenstate close to this energy.
The localization length is larger than the...
Yeah, if it's the localization length is larger than system size, then we can keep more. Yeah, we don't have to worry. Yeah, that's... Yeah, thanks.
Excuse me, why did you stop at 24, the lower side? Do you have signs that there are corrections to... I mean, if you start at 8 instead of 24, you would see that the single power does not fit all the data, why you have to restrict yourself to only larger sizes? What is the...
We didn't really look at smaller size systems, but we expect to have corrections, bigger corrections.
It's interesting to measure those corrections and to see how.
In general, yes, but for our
purpose. In general, for smaller systems.
Yes, but since I'm here interested in the critical theory, I would like to go to the opposite direction.
The question is, when you extrapolate to infinite dimension,
yes,
the results may depend whether you include correction terms.
Right, yeah, so...
That's why I'm asking this question.
Yeah, that's true. Let me go on. So, for example, this is... before I show exponents, here is probability distribution of wave function amplitudes psi squared in the logarithmic scale in the bulk region, red, and surface in blue, and 45 corner, this. And we see that the peak position shifts to the left. That means that near the surface and in the corner, typical wave function amplitudes is much smaller than in the bulk. So if the peak shifts towards the left, then that means that wave functions are smaller. And also, it's clear that the distribution gets broader near the corner, well, this is 90 degrees corner, sorry. And this psion is the 45 degree corner. This has much broader distribution. And now from this type of wave function, we compute average from moments of wave function amplitudes. For example, from this relation, we compute anomalous scaling dimension delta Q from this average, and also we obtain numerically alpha of Q by computing this average and F of alpha from this this one. And for example, this graph shows that the scaling behavior of alpha, and the left hand side is this function, the vertical axis is this function, and the horizontal axis is the logarithm of L, and we see reasonably linear behavior with different slopes for bulk and surface and corner. And from this type of linear fit, we determine numerically alpha and f of alpha and delta.
The double angular bracket means what?
This is just a logarithmic derivative of this one.
You see no connection to finite size connection to scaling at all?
Our data is not that good to really tell if how large is the correction to this simple scaling. I expect to have some correction to scaling, but you see that this part of the data is more or less linear. Here there are a lot of fluctuations, but this is mostly statistical fluctuations, and we have to do much more ensemble average to tell if there's how large is the correction to the scaling. So this figure shows f of alpha for the bulk in red and surface in blue and corner, the 90 degree corner. And and this is the same figure as that I showed before. So the peak position of the bulk f of alpha is around 2.17, and as you go to the surface corner, the f of alpha is at maximum to the right and also becomes broader. This is in accordance with this wave function probability distribution. And by definition, bulk f of alpha has a maximum at 2, and the maximum value of f of alpha is 2 and 1 and 0 for bulk, surface, and corner. That's by definition. And we see clearly that they are all different. And also shown here in yellow is an f of alpha of the whole cylinder, and in this definition I took R in the bulk or surface or corner region, but if I integrate over the whole sample, then I can also define tau of Q for the whole sample. And shown in yellow here is the tau of Q defined in that way for the cylinder. And we see that this cylinder f of alpha interpolate between bulk f of alpha to surface f of alpha smoothly. So this is one example that the f of alpha of the whole system is dominated by surface region, at least for large enough Q. And here I try to check if the symmetry relation proposed by Skilling et al. Is valid or not. So from that symmetry relation, we expect to have this functional relation. And shown here in by thin lines, colored thin lines, are this relation. And from the numerical data, from the numerical data for a given q, I computed f of alpha at 1 minus q and plot it by thin lines. And we see that for the bulk f of alpha, red line, the thin line and numerical data lie on top of each other. So this relation is indeed satisfied for the bulk f of alpha. But for the surface and the corner, we see some deviations. We don't know at the moment that this means that really the symmetry relation doesn't hold for the surface and corner. But actually, I think my feeling is that our numerics is still not good enough. We suffer from large finite size correction, in particular for the region near, in this region of small alpha, and so because of this discrepancy, we also see this discrepancy here. And so I'll come back to this point a little bit later. But for the bulk f of alpha, we think that this functional relation is satisfied. Now for the corners of angle. For these angles, this is the 45 f of alpha and 90 degrees f of alpha, and so on. And we see that for the smaller angle, the distribution, the f of alpha gets broader and broader, and the peak position goes to the right. And also shown here in the thin colored lines, cyan and pink and green, these lines are the ones we expect from this theoretical, the conformal invariance relations. So we took these numerical data dots and plugged in, from the surface f of alpha, given this surface f of alpha, we plugged in this surface f of alpha to this, the right-hand side, and compute the alpha and f of alpha for the corners. Those are the lines. And dots are the numerical data for the corners. And they agree quite well. So this means, we think this is a strong numerical evidence for the presence of conformal invariance. And
why so conformal invariance? The argument of locality does not go through.
Why
does it?
Well, if you try to write a field theory for this problem and this localization, which is the field theory for averaged quantities, which is exactly these things, it's in two dimensions, it's a critical theory. And has a, if you use supersymmetry, it has an entirely local action. Entirely. And one expects, and one might hope, that the critical point is conformal invariance. So that's what we're testing.
I know, I understand, but is there any a priori non technical? I mean, supersymmetry is just a technique of evading replica.
Well, but you can write down an action with which you can, in principle, do calculations, right? The only reason why we can do calculations is because this is a field theory at strong coupling. That's the reason why we can do explicit calculations. But we have examples where you can do an expansion of such a theory in some weak coupling limit, and that perfectly has conformal symmetry.
There's also an example where it matches the critical population.
another.
So it's another opposition problem, perhaps the classical field of collision where you would not doubt the preliminaries to be present.
Yes. Right. And also shown here in this figure is alpha as a function of Q for bulk, surface, and corners. And thin lines are the function, the alpha of Q of corner computed from this with the inputs of surface alpha of Q. So, for example, it may be difficult to see here, but this psion data points for the pi over 4, the 45 degree corner, goes like that, and the theoretical line goes like that. And this is the point I called Q of theta, or Q of pi over 4 for this case. And of course, for the numerics, from the numerical data, we cannot get such a single non-analytic function, but our numerically obtained alpha of Q is a rounded function. And so we expect that if we go to larger and larger system size, eventually this will come closer and closer to this cusp. And so this is a finite size effect. And this one affects this part. For small alpha gets bigger than we expect. Therefore, the numerical data comes down below the theoretical line. And also interesting thing is that all the curves are actually anti-symmetric, about this point, Q equals 1/2 and alpha equals 2, that follows from Sasha Mielding's relation.
Well, your data have alpha positive?
Alpha positive, yes. Well, yeah.
First, you expect as negative alphas?
Yeah, all the corner f of alpha are negative by definition.
And sorry, what is the question? Alpha has to be positive,
yes,
by definition. F of alpha doesn't.
So what is the drawn line then?
Drawn line is computed from these two equations. I took the surface F of alpha as an input, and also surface alpha of Q as an input, this blue line, this one, and plug in to these two equations for given theta. And so, and then so from these two equations, I know alpha of Q theta and F of alpha for corner Q, I mean theta. Though these are the lines. And these dots are the numerical data for the
corner. How do you expect to go from the field here?
Okay, I can go back. Yeah, so from conformal field theory, we expect to have this one. Is that all right? And then just by doing Legendre transformation, I get these two equations.
So if you go back to the house,
yeah.
What would you expect?
Maybe I didn't explain well. So first I computed F of alpha and alpha of Q for the corner. Surface. And then I obtained this data and also this blue alpha of Q.
So in that graph, what would you expect?
So for the surface itself, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a theory to get a surface F of alpha. What I'm trying to compare is the surface and corner, the F of alpha of surface and F of alpha of corner. And once I get surface F of alpha in some way here numerically, then using these two equations, I can compute f of alpha for the corner, and these are shown in the line by these lines, thin lines, and these dots are numerical data and the moments computed at the corners with given angle, and they agree quite well. So this means that these relations are satisfied, at least numerically, within these error bars. Is it clear? Or? So another thing that I should point out here is that alpha of corner can exceed 4, and it goes beyond the upper limit of 4 predicted by the symmetry relation of Sacher-Mehling et al. So obviously for the corner, somehow this inequality is not satisfied. So let me move on to the normal scaling dimension for the bulk region. So shown here in red is the numerical data we computed of the delta of Q in the bulk region. And these gray dots are the its mirror image about this Q equals 1/2 line. So, and red and gray dots almost overlap, at least within this range. So this relation, delta Q equals delta 1 minus Q, is satisfied on this level. And so this is another direct check of the symmetry relation. And also we notice that, well, this, the vertical axis is delta of Q normalized by Q times 1 minus Q. And this is not this is obviously not constant. This means that f of alpha is not exactly parabolic, this problem. And also another thing is that the green line goes through this Q equals 0 and 1 point. The value of green line is 0.173, which is the derivative of delta of Q at Q equals 0. And from the conformal mapping of two-dimensional system to a cylinder, which is a quasar 1D system, we know that if there's this conformal invariance, the localization length in the quasar 1D geometry cylinder in the one-dimensional direction is a finite number, lambda c, and it's a universal number, and that should equal this 1 over pi delta naught. And this lambda c was independently computed some time ago by Asada, Slevin, and Otsky, and they obtained this number. And we have this delta naught, and indeed this relation holds. So this is another check of conformal invariance. All these results were independently obtained by Evers and Mildenberger. And Sacher-Mehling talked about it here some time ago. So this is this figure shows bulk, surface, and corner anomal scaling dimensions, normalized anomal dimensions as a function of Q. And this is a figure of alpha as a function of Q. And let me again explain these lines, color thin lines. So this is the surface delta of Q, and given, well, first we computed delta of Q for the surface, and from this we plug in this data into this formula, which we expect from conformal invariance. And then for each theta, 45 and 90 degrees, and so on, we know that the theoretical value of delta of Q for the corners, which is shown in these lines. And these dots are the numerical results independent of this speculation. And we see some deviations, but for small q, we find very good agreement. And also we think that the deviation we see around here are mostly due to a finite size effect that I discussed a little bit earlier. So there are some deviations, but we think this is this figure also shows that the conformal invariance is there. And this figure shows the tau of Q of bulk and surface, blue, and corner with 45 degree angle. And also the black dots are the tau of Q for the whole cylinder, the whole rhombus of this shape. So I integrate it over all the sites, then I can define another tau of Q for the whole rhombus. And we see here that the tau of Q of the whole rhombus for small q, this is the black dots on top of the red dots, but for larger q, it crosses over to the corner tau of q. So the tau of q of the whole sample is given by the minimum of these. And this is another example that the boundary effects are very important to determine the multifractal properties of the whole sample, whole system. And yeah, so let me wrap up. So, well, we numerically studied this critical point of the two-dimensional symplectic class, and we numerically show that there is a conformal invariance, and these relations are satisfied within some numerical accuracies. And we also checked the symmetry relation proposed by Meerling et al. And at least for the bulk multifractality, this is indeed satisfied, at least for reasonably small values of Q. However, this relation predicts that alpha of Q should be smaller than 4, which is not satisfied for the corner region. And also I showed some examples of surface and corner effects becoming very important for larger Q. So, thank you for your attention.
So, maybe we just have time for one or two questions if there are any.
So you have the intuition why I guess the maximum wave functions are pinned to the boundaries according to that point. I guess that's what it means, right?
No. I mean, near the corners and near the surface, we have much broader distributions of wave function amplitudes. And with large Q, we are probing very rare events of very large amplitudes. And somehow, near the corners, we have much broader distributions. And therefore, corners dominates the statistics, the average. But if you compute the typical multifractal properties and taking logarithm and then average, then answer is different. I mean, we don't have any contribution from corners, and I think dominated by bulk.
there are no further questions, let's thank Akira again.